My friends, God is speaking, and it's time to stir up the gifts that he put inside of you. You know, guys, today it is 8:25, and Romans 8:25 tells us to hope for what we don't yet see and wait for it with expectation. Today, guys, we're going to be getting wildly prophetic. What is God saying, and are you ready to hear it? And hey, I'll see you here in just a minute.
It's something I commonly say to people when I want to be their friend is, I want you to know that I'm your friend. I'm the friend of God, and it's part of my ministry. But dude, I offered and I extended that friendship into somebody who knew how to use that against me and also gave him a gift, and he gave me gifts. And this was a guy way up the Amazon River, and that joker was trying to kill me. He was in my room. He literally projected, but he had a physicality about him. He was not a poof. There was a physical being inside my room at the foot of my bed, and there he was, and he was speaking death over me, and I heard it, and I woke up and I saw him, and then as soon as I saw him, I was like, hey, and I'm gonna get my pistol and blast him, and then he disappeared, and I was like, what the heck? And I was sick. All of that was all witchcraft, and I had to come against it. And then I want to tell you, I did come against it, and I beat it. I got healed in one day, and then I hopped on a plane, and I went down there and I confronted him and told him, you ain't doing that to me anymore.
The Counter Season 2 is up, my friends. And hey, are you a part of the ODX.TV family? Have you checked out the first four episodes of The Counter Season 2? Do you know thousands and thousands of people have? They already have. And dude, you're missing out. All the cool kids are doing it. Man, you got to go to ODX.TV and sign up there and check out the first four episodes. Well, here's a peek of something we've already done.
That was a peek. Did you guys enjoy it? Listen, it's going to be a wild show today, guys. We're going to have fun.
Oh, God.
We're already having fun. Pastor Troy walked through the door literally like 20 seconds before, because you guys just came out of a crazy prophetic pastor's meeting, and we're going to get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, man, I come back glowing in the dark, guys, and I was with Pastor Brian Gibson yesterday out at his church in Amarillo, Texas. I got back and literally walked into the door of Open Door Church, went straight to the pastor's meeting. I just got done with the 2 hours pastor's meeting. One pastor who is sitting here, I can't talk to her because the camera's not on her yet, but because we came in here at the very last second, just right before, and we got to adjust the camera. But there's another pastor that is here, Pastor Ryan. Dude, you were in there, man.
Oh, I was all in there.
Yeah?
Right on time. It was a great meeting of talking about, hey, this is why we're doing things, but today was a cool how conversation. This is how the Lord has called us to carry this out. And it was a good reminder. So we're going to talk all about it today, which is fun.
Well, we are, guys. I'm going to share this thing with you, and we're going to be talking about stirring up the prophetic gifts. Mm-hmm. We're going to get off into Genesis chapter 26 today, and we're going to look at the first couple parts of that. I'm going to share with you some wild prophetic things that happened with this crazy prophet from Colombia who is with me, and I'm going to show you something that he did, something he prophesied to me, and we'll talk about the whole trip that was up there, and it's great. But first, before, guys, we get off into all that, I want to say hello. I want to say a great big hello. How are you? I call you blessed, and I praise God for you. As the Spirit of the Lord is moving, and there's no reason, man, for you not to be a part of that. I promise you, God Almighty is moving in such a big way. And I'm going to give you guys some word. I'm going to prophesy today, and we're going to impart prophetic gifts today. Man, you're going to get all stirred up, so get yourself ready.
I'm excited.
So help me tell everybody. Really, help me tell everybody. What all do I need to
tell them? First of all, we already have people from all over the world joining us.
Yay.
All over the world that have tuned in. So hello, Deborah Denick from the UK. We have Christian Fulling from Berlin, Germany. Let's see. We've got Canada in the house. Michelle Long. We have Marker Skeen from South Africa. Literally so many nations. We've got Alabama joining us. That's another nation. Mark Newman from Mesquite. Kathy Riggs from Georgia. We got people from literally all over tuning in today. So thank you guys for joining us. We're so happy to have you here. And if you have heard Pastor Troy just in the beginning talk about what is ODX.TV, if this is your first time joining us, that is our platform where we load up all of our content, and it is 24/7 access to all of the things that we do. And so if you're interested, if you're like, hey, these guys seem like they're kind of fun, well, head on over to ODX.TV and check us out over at Paraguay.
Man. Wow. Paraguay. That's crazy. How do you say Paraguay?
Paraguay.
Paraguay. Mm-hmm. Paraguay.
I sound like something from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Paraguay.
Awesome. Australia?
Australia this year. Yeah.
This might be the most countries we've had represented in the first 5 minutes. Like, that's pretty crazy. That's
yeah, that
that's
is.
Awesome.
You know what, guys?
Marvin! Oh, yeah. My brother!
There's Brother Marvin. There he is. There he is.
How
all his
are
radiant
you?
Glory. And I'll call you guys blessed. It's so much fun for us to look over and see all the people that's here.
Really
hey, man,
is.
Please. Please let me know where it is that you're watching from. And if you got a testimony, if you got something that you want us to give a shout out to, if you'll put a whole bunch of exclamation marks on there. And then also, if you have a question, because we're going to get into the word today. And I got a powerful impartation. I've been with Pastor Brian Gibson and his church in Amarillo. And just tell you this, man, if you're ever in the Amarillo area, you're driving through, you got to stop and you got to eat a 72-ounce steak. And then after you do that, then you head over to his place.
Roll on over there.
To his
that.
Church. Gosh, yeah, man. Anyway, but you got to head over there and just, listen, just go with expectancy, but without expectations. And just
That's
go
good.
And just sit there. I took my notebook up there. I didn't go up there to preach. Number one, Brian has too much class, and he won't allow me to preach. He preaches in mine all the time.
Oh,
do you
funny.
Know that? He's never invited me to preach at his church. What do you
wow.
think that's all about? It's kind of weird, man. I don't know. I need y'all to petition Pastor Brian Gibson. And say,
yeah,
well,
everyone
I want you
hit him up.
And then he'll call me, and he'll ask me, and I'll tell him no. I'm busy.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. But I'm glad that you went, Pastor, because you
know,
pour out and you need to be able to go
exactly
places to get filled.
Exactly right. No, I didn't go up there to preach. And yeah. Nobody knows me up there anyway, and it's okay. They got a powerful pastor.
That's
literally
awesome.
Just went there just to sit and just listen to. I knew I was going to be in a very anointed environment, and I knew the atmosphere was going to be very prophetic because there was a prophet from Columbia that was going to be there. And I just took my notebook and I just start. Writing down every little thing that I hear, every little thing that I hear, and just stir up the gift that is within me, redig the wells, amen, which is Genesis chapter 26, and we're going to be looking into that. And I really came back blessed.
Good.
And a great big shout out to my buddy, Brian Gibson. I did 4 podcasts yesterday from
day
his
off.
Studio completely. Well, yeah, that's what you do on your day off, right? But I mean, we actually, you know.
TV shows.
Yeah, what were those shows I did?
Okay, so we actually have some of them uploaded so far to ODX. So Unclassified, which is on Victory Channel.
Which was a great show.
That was so great. I love Greg. He's a character. This was the screenshot from the website, by the way. So I didn't do you dirty with that one. I would have changed that.
Look at
freeze
me.
Frame
a
on
heel?
Your face.
A heel?
Yeah. But that was awesome. That's loaded up at ODX.TV. Mm-hmm. Then you were on the Flyover Conservatives podcast.
Which was.
That
outstanding.
Wow. Yeah, so that's on their
that
social
was
media.
Really good. And that was the first time I was on their show, and I love those people.
They're super fans of you too, so
those
that was fun.
Those people were amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna start following them all the time.
Yeah.
I'd never seen their show before, and I apologize for that. Man, I was like, well, how am I not plugged in? These guys are numbers people, these guys are prophetic, they're great Americans,
yeah.
They're patriots. And I was like, dude, this is my tribe. I mean, I gotta do more of that.
Yeah,
I was on Brian Gibson's show yesterday.
That's
and I don't,
cool.
I don't know if that thing was live.
I don't think it was because I went to look today to see if I could find it. I couldn't find it on.
Well,
his
he
socials.
Had something in his teeth, and they're gonna have to edit that out. Like he had like a bone or something. Like he'd been gnawing
oh
on a rib
gosh.
Or something. But he's a savage.
Oh
so
that's hilarious.
That's oh but gosh. Yeah, we did that, and then I also did what else did I do yesterday? I did another show yesterday too. I honestly don't remember. Yesterday was like a million years ago. And then got on a plane, flew back down here this morning and got up, had to leave in a big hurry. And of course, Leanna didn't want to leave. And all she wanted to do was kiss me. And I was like, baby,
okay.
I got the work of Jesus. I'm a man of God.
I'm a man.
It is the jacket.
I think it's the jacket. I told you, you're extra dressed up today. You're like ready to go. You're in go mode.
No, I'm in go mode, man.
Go mode.
So praise the name of King Jesus. Hey, also too, I need to give a shout out, and I don't know if we had prepared to do this, but I'm going to be at the Rev 17 event.
Yeah.
So help me tell everybody about that.
Yeah, you want to go ahead, Rebecca?
Yeah, so Pastor Troy is going to be at the Rev conference this week. We have a video, so you guys want to watch it?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Holy smokes. smokes.
I'm telling you, that's going to be crazy. August the 28th through the 30th.
Yep.
Where's it going to be at? What is the name of that town? Anybody know where it's going to be at, or how people can sign up for it?
It was on that. Yeah. It was on that. Let me see. Let me pull it up.
It was
up
on
there.
There somewhere?
Yeah, it was on there.
I didn't see it. I was actually looking for it. I don't even know what the name of that town is. We need to tell everybody. It's north of
Church
Sacramento.
Church of Glad Tidings.
It is the Church
it
of Glad Tidings.
It is Church of Glad Tidings in Live Oak.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Laura Logan's going to be there, a whole bunch of people. My good friend Craig Sawman Sawyer is going to be there. The guy that we partner with in the Dominican Republic who rescues so many kids.
That's
he's going to be there. Fernando, he's going to
be there. Oh, Fernando Figueroa.
Yep.
Oh,
wow. And he's going to be there. He's a bad motor scooter. Man, that guy's just awesome.
People can go to churchofgladtidings.com. Mm-hmm.
Churchofgladtidings.com. Look up the Rev 17. And aren't you guys glad that they changed the name of the conference?
Oh, Lord, yes. Listen, they changed it last year.
Pastor
Dave
is so radical. He is so radical.
Do you know what it used to be called, Pastor Ryan?
Do you know what it was called?
It was called Babylon.
It was called the Whore of Babylon Conference or something like that.
Yeah. Mix
and I was like, that's not a good marketing name.
No, I literally would.
Do I remember it? Yes. Did I want to say it?
Yeah. No, I don't want to say it either.
It's biblical. I mean, it's biblical.
But it's like.
So is Rev 17.
Rev 17.
That's a lot better.
I was like, how are we going to promote this, Pastor? The Whore of Babylon.
And then he said, well, that's not my original thing I was going to call it, and I'm not allowed to say it. Oh, I'm not allowed to say what he's going to call it. But it's about taking on the beast system that wants our kids all over the planet Earth. Yeah. All the people that are there, except for me, are experts on rescuing kids.
Hey, whatever.
And
you're an
I
expert.
Am you're going an expert. To, it's going yes. to be crazy cool. And so, man, we're all going to be under the same roof. Holy Spirit is going to be there in a really big way. Yeah. It lasts a couple of days, and I can't wait to see you there. So come out to the Rev 17 and be a part of that, and I'll meet you guys in, did we ever figure
Live
out the
Oak.
Name of that town?
Live Oak.
Is it Live Oak? Mm-hmm.
Live Oak. That's what it said.
Live Oak.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not the way I remember it. I remember it being another town name, but Live Oak is what it says.
That's what it says all day. So, maybe they moved it to a different
exactly
town.
Right. Yeah. So it's going to be there. So guys, come out and see me. And if you see me, come and say hi to me. Don't ever be afraid to say hi to me. And just say, hey, you told me to say hi. And I'll say, well, then hi. How are you? That's what I do. All right, what else?
That's going to be awesome. All right, what other announcements do we have? Okay, we have the Dove Hunt. We've got some spaces open for your Dove Hunt coming up.
Four spots.
So we've got, four spots left.
We only
left.
Have four spots left?
Yeah.
That means, dude, and guys, we're doing three different Dove Hunts, and that's a lot of people.
Yes.
So it's a great father-son thing. Mm-hmm. It is a great, ladies are allowed. You're allowed to come out, man. You're allowed to come out. And so
shoot
you want to come out?
That's exactly. I like
the
dogs.
Year before last, the biggest dove that was ever shot was me. My grandson shot me with a shotgun.
Oh,
that actually
my
happened.
God.
Yeah, no.
He shot you?
Yeah, he pulled a Dick Cheney on me and actually shot me. And it didn't kill me, obviously.
What do you mean? Wait, I didn't know this. Are you for real?
Yeah, Barrett shot me.
Where?
And it wasn't a pepper either. I mean, it actually knocked me down. And so
I
barely bled. It was just I
barely bled.
What?
It was I hit the ground. I said, boy.
He
was probably, I don't know, 40, 50 yards
See,
away.
This
he
is
was
why lying. Guns scare me.
Well, you'd be scared if you want to. But the rest of us, I got up and started laughing.
Oh,
he was
appalled.
He came over. I was like, hey, man, you're not far enough away to be. We're all That's far hilarious. Enough away that if somebody does shoot towards somebody, because you will, because the birds fly all in between people. But it's a big, giant monster field.
Is it a real bullet? Like a kill-you bullet?
No, it's a shotgun pellet.
Oh, I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm it's a city
like,
girl
was,
at heart.
It was just like, it was like being shot. It was
like,
I know.
I think you're like an actual bullet. And I'm like, why are you so chill about
I'm
this?
I'm so embarrassed.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord.
Will you put the camera on me, man?
Put the camera on.
Thank you. I'm going to do the rest of the show like this right now.
I'm sorry. Listen, just remember, I'm new to Texas. Only 2 years.
Yeah. No, it's just shotgun shells. It's really safe. It really and truly is.
It really is really
safe.
I mean,
he's
a little boy, and a dove flew right in front of me, and he was, I don't know, he was 40, 50 yards away, and he shot me and knocked me down. I'm like, dude, you just shot me, man. And I had pellets on me. And
oh, my gosh.
Anyway, it's no big deal. It's like, okay, we need to talk gun safety. Okay.
Yeah.
We
do not, a good time for it.
Rule number one, we do not shoot each other. So
that's a good rule.
I know I'm probably not selling this thing very well.
I think it sounds like fun.
But it is a blast.
It sounds
literally.
Like
and
a
guys,
lot
we will
of fun.
Do that. So anyway, it's good to see you, James. Like, so happy to see you, man.
Hey, we do have another announcement, and I just feel like we should say the announcement because this announcement entails you seeing your beautiful wife for a second for like a minute long. But we have the women's conference coming up. And we have a little quick promo.
But
I know.
She
listen,
looks amazing.
We would want to see this. We would love for you guys to join us for the women's conference. Take a look at our beautiful Pastor Leanna. Take a look at this.
Hey, ladies. I just wanted to let you know we still have a few tickets left for the VIP breakfast at the women's conference. I encourage you to please come. It's going to be great. There are going to be special prizes. There's special music. This only going to be exclusive to this breakfast. And you're going to get to have a form of us ladies that are speaking.
Let me tell you what she's thinking right now. She's doing her job, but she's singing. I want to kiss her.
So if you click the link below, you'll be able to
that's,
come.
That's all
I encourage
saying.
You to come, bring a friend.
I
give it as
feel
a
sorry
gift.
For her.
Do it for somebody that you love.
She's
I hope
so
to see you there.
Oh, my gosh. Sad. You know, Leanna, Leanna is so smitten with me. I kind of feel sorry for her. After 40 years, you know, it's just like, baby, calm down.
Well, listen, she was talking about the women's conference. If you guys want more information about that, go to opendoorexperience.com. I know you didn't hear. You were just
we
like
knew
so
we were
enamored.
We
want to
watch that video.
But anyway, yes,
hey, it's
join
good.
Us.
It's good, guys. It's good to be married, and it's good to be married with somebody who actually loves you. And I praise God for that. That is a really big deal. There's a lot of people that aren't. There are a lot of people that aren't. I just go,
oh,
man,
my
I, just,
Lord.
I don't get it. Okay,
oh my God.
Are you guys ready to get off into this?
Yes, let's get into it.
One more thing. We need to announce ODX Weekend. Save the date, Shay.
Huh? Oh, yes. ODX Weekend is coming up October 17th.
God.
Guys, save
Yo, please
the
come.
Date.
Please come to this. Please. It's awesome.
Come Look to this. That. Listen, again, this I feel like today has been a really fun example of what you can expect because it is like... It's us. You're getting to hang out with us. Who knows what Pastor Troy is going to say? You never know what he's going to say.
I will be couth.
Yes.
Don't be.
I can be trusted.
You can be trusted, but you have fun.
You're going to. Oh, no. We're going to have fun.
We're going to have fun.
Feed us all, right?
Yeah, I'm going to feed everybody. Listen, the event doesn't cost anything. You have to be invited, meaning you have to be an ODX member. And we go through our lifetime people first. And then we go through our stage two, and then we go, or actually, then we go through our stage three, and then we go through our stage two. We only allow for 300 people to be here. Number one, because we're going to have a big, huge feast together. I'm paying for all of that. We're going to get together, and I'm going to give you some behind the scenes of how a tremendous difference you're making. We're also going to watch the movie. You're going to get to see it before anybody else. And it's called To Catch a Monster. And To Catch a Monster is going to be exclusive on ODX.TV. And it is a documentary that Jason Fields and some good friends of mine got together and made of a behind-the-scenes look at what it takes for us to actually catch a predator.
Yep.
And it's something.
Yeah. It's going to be really, really good. And it's going to be a series.
Yep.
Until we get the guy. But I think it's going to be really interesting for people to see what goes into it, because I mean, from the outside, people are probably like, okay, well, you're a pastor. So what is a pastor doing catching a monster, you know, going after kids?
Have
and
we,
it really connects
have we made
the
any
dots
clips
well.
From that yet?
No,
I don't think we have. Okay.
No.
So we will be showing you guys some clips on it, man. And it's, you're going to want to see it. When you see the clips, I promise you, you're going to want to see it.
Yeah. I actually think he's sending me one today.
I want a clip where we're talking about that time I got in that fight and I had to beat the brakes off of somebody. So you see,
yep.
All I did was kick him. Everybody else beat him up, but it was anyway.
You just got to kick him.
Yeah, sometimes that's required. Like, but you're supposed to be a man of God. Oh, listen, I was anointed. I was anointed for the moment, and we did rescue those kids. We did. And so anyway, we go behind it. We tell the stories. We have a bunch of our operators are actually telling the stories. We're going through this big thing that we're doing overseas, trying to catch a guy that we call the Belgium. And anyway, you'll see. So
it's going to be
really
that's
good. Coming up on ODX. And one more good reason for you to subscribe and to be a part of it and help us rescue kids.
Yeah.
Well, how many more 10,000s of
that's it.
Of announcements?
No, we're done.
We're done.
It's your turn now. We're tapping. We'll be quiet. We'll go back to our corners.
Okay. All right, well, let's get off into this. So guys, buckle your seatbelts. If you have a hearing ear, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. And I want to tell you, I will expand on this on Wednesday night. I'm going to preach on this on Wednesday night. We're going to be releasing a prophetic anointing in the room. But I have been, since when I first got saved, Pastor Ryan, I've been always been a part of a prophetic company of believers. And it just has never been weird to me. It's always just been normal to be weird and to hear God speak in radical ways and to acknowledge how the Holy Ghost loves to move like that and to do that, not be afraid to call out, you know, I just saw this in the Spirit or just saw that in the Spirit or any of those things. But I've been convicted lately and I've been sharing this with all of our leadership. I need to redig that well. And it hasn't gone dry in any way. It's not dry, but it's not flowing at the level that it has been. And frankly, I know why. Because I have to do a lot of administrative work, and it's a joy. And the Spirit of the Lord operates in that. Okay, so understand. I do a lot of taking new ground. We have huge teams of people, and I have really seen God move in all those areas. So I'm hearing God speak, and I'm seeing fruit. But I know that voice of the Lord, and I'm like, I'm not hearing God speak like what I usually do. And that's on me. That's not on anybody else. So I'm like, I got to go redig this well. Well, Pastor Brian Gibson is a wild prophetic voice, and he's a voice in my life. About 7-8 months ago, he told me, he said, "Hey, fat man, I see you. You're about to be skinny." Mm-hmm. And by the way, he's fat.
He's not.
He's a fat man. And I thought, you got some nerve. Actually, that's not true. Look, I know.
He did say that live. You're all in here.
Yeah, so yeah. He's like, he says, Troy, he said, when he came around the corner. He has lost weight. And he needs to lose a lot more. But he came walking around the corner. I came walking around the corner. He said, Troy, I just saw a skinny version of you walking around. And he said, there's a new anointing on you to lose weight. And I went, that's it. I'm fixing to lose. And I went and I weighed right then and I decided I'm going to lose 76 pounds before I turned 60 years old, which is December 6th, and I'm down 50-something pounds, and I just instantly had a grace. And I started talking to my skinny friends and going, Shay, what do you do? I mean, you look like the freaking wind's going to blow you away at any given moment.
Thank you.
And yeah, look she loves that. I'm like, what do you do? She started telling me how she loses weight and how she does that. And I was like, okay, well, you know what? I think I'm going to start doing this and doing that and doing this. Well, you have to start getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and going on a 5-mile walk. And you know what I did? I stayed in bed. That's what I did. Hallelujah. I'm like, you're
nuts.
Last
week you joined her, though,
didn't
you?
Yeah. I did. And then I had an asthma attack halfway back, and I was injured for the rest of the day. But with that, that's not true. I didn't have an asthma attack. But I'm old. I honest to God, I'm just like, good God, this is nuts, man. Yeah. And it's actually a lot harder to lose weight, you know, the older you get. And I'm like, no, I'm beating this thing. I have a word from the Lord.
Amen.
And I have a grace on me, and I'm going to believe that word. Mm-hmm. And it came to pass. Also, too, Brian Gibson actually prophesied to me that God was going to put me on Fox News, and he did that publicly. And then, like, 5 weeks later, I was on Fox News. And so he's the real deal.
And that word that he gave you, it was about your health overall. Too.
That
was kind of one of the focus of it, but just that you would experience the health because of everything you say yes to, that you were going to be able to show up in the way that you wanted to. So it had a huge health benefit type package to it, which we see it.
Well, praise God, man. And I need to be healthy. And there's a lot of people dependent upon me. So somebody just said, hey, I need a grace, Pastor. I need to lose 100 pounds. Okay, hey, I speak such as I have. I give unto you in Jesus' name.
Freely given.
Amen. And just, I freely give this to you in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Receive it. That from this day forward, you're going to have a wisdom and an ability to lose weight. That what hadn't worked before is going to work in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'll tell you guys this. I mean, I've struggled with my weight my whole life. Mm-hmm. And in 2011, I weighed 416 pounds.
That's wild.
I was worldwide before the internet.
Wow.
I could wear white pants, and you could show movies on my backside.
Oh my goodness! I can't.
I was so fat. You want to keep going? Because I can do fat jokes all day long. So look, the girls hate this. It embarrasses them. Like the brother is laughing. The brother, see, guys think that this is funny. Girls don't think it's funny. You just say the word fat, and they go like, oh my God, and they start freaking out. Like the most offensive thing you can do.
Oh my God.
I was fat. I weighed 416 pounds. It's a wonder I didn't die. It's a wonder I didn't. Okay, I had weight loss surgery. And I had weight loss surgery in 2011, and I lost about 200 pounds.
Wow.
I lost a Backstreet Boy. I lost two Backstreet Boys.
That's not.
Do you know
invite.
That they're in Vegas at the Spirit?
I'm going in two days, but it's okay. We're in spiritual right now.
I hope you don't go to hell for that. I'm just going to throw that
out. It's so funny because Jeremy Stallings already commented because I had to post on social media. I was like, listen, guys, You know my heart. You probably follow me for Israel stuff or parenting stuff or Bible Jesus stuff. But I'm just warning you, this week you might see some Backstreet Boys content on my social media. And don't judge me, okay? I'm a millennial.
Could you not go see the Eagles? Really? Listen. The Eagles are there. And you're going to go see the Backstreet Boys? Well, Jesus. I don't even know if you're saved.
So listen,
after that.
Oh my God. Don't judge me, friend.
Well, here's what we say. Baby, don't, bye, bye, bye. That's what
that's
we say.
That's NSYNC.
Oh, I'm
it's
sorry.
Okay. It's
I
okay.
thought I was going to be cool. See, I'm sorry. I'm not up to par on my Backstreet
okay,
Boys
sorry.
Music.
All right. We digress. We digress. But anyway, guys, don't judge me if you follow me.
That
on
is not
media.
NSYNC.
Yeah. Bye, bye, bye. That's NSYNC.
Is it?
Backstreet Boys, Backstreet.
With Justin Timberlake in.
All right. Yeah, he's NSYNC. Yeah. NSYNC.
Really? I thought those were the Backstreet Boys.
I mean, they're kind of, it's a blurry line.
I've not watched it because I've never gone through a gay period in my life.
Oh my gosh.
I've always been heterosexual.
Oh my
I've
gosh,
always,
I'm glad we're talking
I've
about
never
this.
Been, yeah. So oh I forgot gosh. What I was talking about. So here's what I'm going to tell you about. I go up there and I go to Pastor Brian Gibson's church and I go to his church.
Oh, wait.
Oh, my
I thought
God.
You were a member of the Backstreet Boys. Oh, my God. I the thought jacket. You were a member.
It's all insane.
They wish.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to tell you right now, they oh wish. My God. I can't believe you did that to me, Taylor. What in the heck is happening to my crew? What's happening around
oh
here?
Oh my gosh, this is so good. Okay, sorry. Okay. All right, back to the prophetic. Get the train back on the tracks.
Santo.
You were up at Pastor Brian Gibson.
I went out there to redig the well, and yes. I got the Holy Ghost all over me in a ridiculous mm-hmm. kind of yes. way. Now,
amen.
The prophet of God, he's out there, and he's prophesying to people. And he comes up to me, and he tells me to stand up, and I stand up. And God doesn't know me from Adam. And I've been up there before, and this guy's dad was actually prophesying. Mm. He prophesies to me. He says, you know what? I see you doing a big work with kids all over the world, and that's amazing. And I'm like, yeah, that's amazing. That's a good word, brother. You're on it. Let's go. And then he starts prophesying this revival that's going to take place at Open Door Church, amen. Saying that the gift of healing is upon me, that I can pray for people and that they will be healed. And he just starts prophesying. People are going to be coming from all over the world to come to your church because they're going to have great hope that they're going to find Jesus. Wow. In such a way, people will be literally banging on the door to think, yes. we got to get into this church because Jesus is here. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Mm-hmm. And then the guy is, he's prophesying, and he's...
prophecy. His mic plug? It came out? Oh, weird. Hold on, guys. On what, Taylor? Oh, there we go. We back? Okay.
Ta-da! No devil. Yeah. No,
not today.
No. You don't know what you're messing with. I rebuke you mm-hmm. in Jesus' name. And so anyway, man, we went through this. He's sitting there and he's prophesying to me and the Spirit of the Lord is moving.
Come on.
God is moving. It's a crazy atmosphere. And he said, somebody give me a piece of paper and let me write this down. And he's talking about, again, he said, there is a revival that is coming to your church, Troy, that is going to be so off the wall. People are going to be coming, not because you rescue kids, yes. not because of this or because of that. They're going to be coming there because they're going to believe that Jesus is going to be there for them in some profound way. And he said, man, people are going to be healed. Marriages mm-hmm. are going to be reconciled.
Awesome.
Kids are going to come back to Jesus. And people are just going to come to your church and they're just going to find Jesus. They're not going to be there for any other reason. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to move. And he said, give me a piece of paper. Give me a piece of paper. He said, I see this in the spirit.
Wow.
It's a weird symbol. I'm just going to believe you know what it means. And he writes down this. Mm-hmm. This is what he wrote down. He writes this down. And he goes, now understand, this guy does not speak English. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he writes this weird symbol down and he scribbles this down. Do you see what it says?
Not
yeah.
You will.
You have to
say it.
Say it out loud.
Just what? Say it out loud.
What do you see?
301 ST.
Which is?
SST.
SST.
Yep.
Oh, that's our address.
It's our address. Mm-hmm. 301 South Dobson Street.
Yeah.
And he writes 301. And by the way, ST doesn't mean anything to somebody who doesn't speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay. And we're not just 301 Dobson. We're 301 South Dobson. And he even put a little S there.
Whoa.
Put a little S there. And he said, this is what I'm seeing in the spirit. This is where this is going to take place. He said, this symbol represents the ground your church is on somehow, some way. I don't know how.
Somehow it represents I'm the like, ground
your church is on? It's actually a freaking address is address. What that is.
What? That's crazy.
And so, I know you can't see it, guys.
It's kind of hard to see.
It is hard to see. But that's it. I'm going to frame this. I'm actually going to frame it. And he said, hang on to that because that represents the Spirit of God. And I went, it does. Hallelujah. And I think my battery is just about dead. I got 10%. Okay. I got to go to this. So would you find me a plug,
we'll get
please,
you
now? Okay. So I went, okay.
Wow.
Okay. And I just went, okay, I'm going back with this thing. I got with all my pastors this morning and I started talking to them about it. And you were in there and I was like, hey, the Spirit of the Lord, listen, we have to be a prophetic people, and we are prophetic. And so please understand, but I'm telling you, there's another level that the Lord wants to get us in sync with.
Amen.
Thank you very much. And and he wants us to, thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. You're a good girl, I appreciate that. So I'm going after this thing. So it's just a part of my lifestyle that when I start seeing something that is starting to trickle that should be flowing, I know those people and I'm going to get around those people.
Yes.
And I am going to get within that spirit and I'm going to repent and say, Lord, I don't want to lose this in you. I don't want to lose this in you. And I've been doing that here the past couple of days and I'm on fire, man.
That's a really good note for like all of us to take, for anyone watching that. I mean, who you surround yourself with really affects you. And if you're feeling like you're going through some type of spiritual dry spell, get around the people that pour into you. Get around the people that help fill you up, that help you connect to that stream. It's so important.
Well, this is why we got to be plugged into the body of Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
And I want to just say this. You know, we talked about this a lot, me and Brian did. And we talked about this on his show because we're pastors. And we certainly believe, without a shadow of a doubt, you do not got to go to church to be saved. And I also believe this, there are some times you could go through seasons of your life where just, it's hard to be in sync with church life. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this as well. Sometimes it's just as godly to take your kid on a dove hunt as it is to take them to children's church.
Wow.
Now that I've said all that, get your butt in church and get plugged into the body of Christ. Find a non-woke group of leadership and a prophetic company of believers that's actually doing the kingdom stuff.
Amen.
And jump in and be a part of that and be impactful.
Yeah.
And it's just so important. It's just so important.
It really is.
What's happening to you over there?
No, I mean, you said last week whenever we were filming the thing on Thursday that you were going up there, and I was excited because I think it goes without saying, and they should know, like, I don't respect you because you build stuff. I don't respect you because you build buildings and you've got buildings. I don't respect you for any of that. I couldn't have and serve with a lead pastor that wasn't passionate about Jesus.
Amen.
And so anytime you do this and that gets stirred up in you, there's a confirmation that happens. And
I feel the Lord sitting here right now.
No, I
feel the power of Jesus.
He's wanting to breathe. He's wanting to breathe on anything that belongs to him.
Amen.
And so for you to have that renewed part of it, you know, I brought it up last week, the sermon you did 4 years ago on the convergence of builders and dreamers. You've been building a lot. So I heard whenever you said you're going up there, you're going to get around a bunch of dreamers. It doesn't mean that you're going to stop building.
No.
It means there's a convergence inside of you.
That's right.
That has to happen. And Jesus is present inside of you, making sense and putting these circuits back together. That's what I heard in pastor's meeting.
Yep.
All your circuits are firing.
So good word.
It's like this one's unplugged. No problem.
Plug it in.
No problem. It may have happened when you were sleeping on the plane. No problem. Just plug it back in.
Yep.
So you're just plugged. It's
just
refreshing.
Like this thing that just came unplugged.
Yeah.
Just plug it back in.
You're
and keep going.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And just keep on trucking, man. And the Spirit of the Lord is there for us.
Yeah.
And he loves us. And he has so much for us. And you know, the principle of staying passionate for Jesus that I give to everybody is, number one, you have to be personally involved. Yeah. You have to, and again, that's why, man, you need to find a company of believers. Even if you just go to a house church or something, there needs to be leadership. There needs to be somebody who's speaking the word. There needs to be accountability in the kingdom. Doesn't look like, hey, we're checking on you to make sure you're not being bad. Accountability in the kingdom looks like, hey, dude, you are the most impactful person I am. Be that most impactful person I know. Be that person. And, you know, that kind of accountability of, no, man, you're awesome.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing. You can pray for the sick, man, and they will be healed. You can actually preach the word of God. You can actually mow somebody's yard and it's going to change their life.
Yeah.
And be that person. Be that servant. Yeah. And I'm really good at holding people accountable with that. And all that is leadership.
Yeah, and people ask me why we have so many different events and the different style of events and different platforms and stuff. It's so that everybody can find a place to land.
Yeah.
If a dove hunt's not your thing, then VBS, come on. If VBS isn't your thing, then go on a bear. If bear hunt's not your thing, you got ODX weekend.
So that's right. That's right. Or go to the food bank. Or go to the food bank. Or go to the homeless outreach. The homeless outreach this December will be 40 years we have been doing the homeless outreach in the same exact spot off of East Lancaster Street. There's a well, buddy. Okay, look, man, we got to get off into this work. Okay. Guys, if you got your Bibles, open it up to Genesis chapter 26. Now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to train wreck to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell you. All right, stop. Okay. And by the way, good job on getting that up there, man.
Looks so good.
Way to go, man. It does look good. I love that. Yeah, I like working when people know what the heck they're doing.
Taylor, that's good, Taylor. Big deal.
Hallelujah. Okay, my. Now he's celebrating himself.
He deserves it once in a while, you know?
Okay. I want to go back to verse 1, and I want to show you guys this verse, and I want you to pay attention to this because this is a really big deal. It's talking about, it says, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And then Isaac went to Abimelech, who was the king of the Philistines. All right. Okay. This chapter is all about digging wells. It's about redigging wells. And it's about, in the midst of terrible losses and failures of Isaac, who's a lover, not a fighter. Isaac, and we'll talk about him later on, okay? But Isaac has serious issues, and it's like he doesn't belong in the day he lives in. He is a lover, not a fighter. He is a mama's boy. He's easily tricked, he's easily fooled, and he's easily intimidated his entire life. And this scripture actually does this. But I want to just tell you this, man. The Lord loves him exactly the way that he is. Isaac is the child of promise. Isaac is awesome. I'm not putting him down. But this thing starts off and it says, you know, there's this famine you were going through. It's not the world famous famine, but it's the famine that really hurt you. And it's not the famine that everybody knows about. It's not the famous famine. It's the minor famine where you knew that you had had your hat handed to you over and over and over again, as he does in Genesis chapter 26. And the Lord shows up for him because God loves Isaac so much. And Isaac is so awesome. Isaac is seen over and over and over again throughout the Word of God as this passionate lover. He is literally just, he just wants to love. That's what, and he lives in a day where if you're a king, you got to be a warrior and you got to kill folks. And he doesn't want to be that guy. Now, his son Jacob and his son Isaac have no problem being that guy. His dad Abraham had no problem being that guy. His uncle Lot had no problem being that guy. He had no problem being that. And Isaac just, he's not that guy. Yet, he's perfect. And I'm sure he, just when I look between the lines in Scripture at Brother Isaac, I'm going to tell you publicly, and I'm going to say this, that I was telling you guys this. You know, we live in this mad prophetic company of go-getters and hard hitters, okay? And there's a lot of people, and you guys just put up with me for just a minute, and I want to just tell you something. There's a lot of people, I have a lot of people, anytime I say anything good about Joel Osteen, I get this long litany of, okay, I'm just going to tell you, Joel Osteen is Isaac.
Isaac.
Why? Tell him why. Yeah.
Isaac is Joel Osteen. Okay, I'm going to tell you this. I have never known, I will always, always support Joel Osteen's ministry. And I want to tell you why. Because I've never known one person who has ever worked for him that wouldn't take a bullet for him. I have never known one person that's been a big part. And I'm telling you, I've known a lot of people who have worked for him. I mean, I do television ministry, and I'm telling you, like, there's some world famous guys that I love that I've never heard one person who's ever worked for him say anything good about him. And when I talk to him, I say, you know what, man, I've never found one person who talks, because I'm like this. This is how I am. And one world famous prophetic guy, and yeah. I know all you guys know I'm talking about. I'm like, bro, do you know, it's such an honor and privilege to talk to you. And I'm glad to talk to you face to face, because anytime I talk to your staff, they really don't like you. And he just laughed about it. He said, well, that's why I'm the boss and they're not, because they can't handle it.
Wow.
And I'm like, man, this guy, wowzers. Okay. I want to tell you, Joel Osteen is exactly opposite of that.
Montreux.
And he has these staff meetings where Joel Osteen gets with his staff and he just starts bawling and telling his guys, I just love y'all so much.
Aww.
And his guys love him. And his team would take a bullet for him. And there's been people that have been working for him that actually worked for his daddy before him, who was a hard hitter, go getter.
John was, you're right.
Yeah. His daddy was like Abraham. And this guy, to me, they are a picture of Isaac and Abraham, of Abraham and Isaac.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. That biblically is exactly the way Abraham and Isaac was. When you, every time you see Isaac, he has this, man, look, man, I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter kind of guy.
Yeah.
And man, there is a place for that in the body of Jesus that is desperately needed. My dad was like that. My daddy was so like that. Man, my dad was the sweetest, kindest guy in the whole world. And I'm a guy that'll take a ball bat to a trafficker. And my dad had a lot of trouble with me. He didn't understand me. My dad would just go, calm down. My dad would, my daddy would call me every single day. And the first thing he'd say, well, are you calm, boy? And I'd say, no, I'm not, Dad. I wasn't calm yesterday. I'm not calm today. And I'm not going to be calm tomorrow. I wish that'd change. I don't understand you, boy. I just don't. Well, greatness passes a generation, and I'm proof of that. And that's what I would tell Dad.
You know what? It's so, to me, though, this really highlights how important it is to understand your calling and your role. Because you have to do the work that you do, Pastor. And I tell so many people this. When they ask me about you, if you ever wondered what people, I say that I have worked in ministry for pretty much my whole life, and I've seen real and I've seen fake. And Pastor Troy is what you see is what you get. He is the real deal. He's the same person that you see here on the pulse, that you see on the stage, as you are when you're in your office. You talk the same, you act the same. And there's so much to be said for that authenticity, but also the toughness, the way that God has wired you. You have to be wired like that to deal with what you deal with, to see what you see. If you were a Joel Osteen, this ministry would not look the same. And we need to have the Joel Osteens, but we also need to have the Troy Brewers. And so it's important
for
people
to understand. He has seen so many people saved in his ministry. Like, well, I don't like you. Okay, just because you don't like his style or whatever, or even if you've heard him say something that you profoundly disagree with. Dude, you get on television every single day, like what I'm on and like what he's on, and see if you don't say something that you probably shouldn't say, or see if you're not wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
I've been wrong 1,000 times, and I was convinced I was right, and I was wrong. And people have things. You know, you said this, and brother, you were profoundly wrong. And I go, you know what? I might have been.
Which that says a lot, too, by the way, of the type of leader you are as well. You know, because there are a lot of people that wouldn't even...
Most times I'm not, though. I just want to throw that out. Most
I'm waiting for that.
Most times you just can't hang.
Yeah.
So that's...
Oh, man.
But this guy, Isaac, is so loved of the Lord. And this... The writer of course, Moses wrote Genesis, but the Holy Spirit goes in between the lines in Genesis chapter 26 to show you how profoundly loved of God he is in the midst of failure after failure after failure and loss after loss after loss in Genesis 26. Now, this is God showing up in Isaac's famine, not the world famous famine, but the famine that everybody else doesn't consider. And I'm telling you, man, ministers and daddies and mamas and leaders and business owners, you go through famines in your life. That's your own private famine. It's not the famous one. But it's the deal where, dead government, man, you tried so hard and just it's not working. This is not working. That's not working. And this is the place where Jesus himself shows up. God Almighty shows up. But I'm going to tell you, this was Jesus who profoundly loves Brother Isaac. And he shows up and he establishes covenant. And we're going to talk about it because it's stacked righteousness from his father before him. Not iniquity, that the body of Jesus, listen, we all believe in iniquity. We all believe in it. Oh, man. Listen, man, I'm a dadgum Italian, so I guess I got to cheat on my wife. A guy actually told me that one time.
Wow.
I'm like, dude, you got a beautiful wife. She loves you, and she's faithful. And I know for a fact, man, that you got girlfriends. What is that all about? And you're gonna stop that. And he said, well, I'm Italian. That's what he told me. It's like, what the heck does that mean? He's like, well, man, my dad, you know, he had his girlfriends. My grandpa had his girlfriends. He's just understood that. It's just understood. Okay, we put so much in bloodlines of iniquity,
Troy.
But we do not put so much in God Almighty showing up and saying, for the covenant's sake of your daddy, for the prayers of your grandmother's sake, there is literally stacked up righteousness in our bloodlines and also in our leadership lines. That's why it's important to have some form of covering. Within the body of Jesus, if you consider me a leader to you, number one, I cannot choose to be your leader. How leadership works in the New Testament is you choose who your leaders are. The Bible says, do not lord over your flock. Well, because you don't own them. You don't own them. You be a leader and you see who will submit to that. I can't decide who is part of my flock and who's not. All I'm going to do is I'm going to lead. And then I looked out there and then boom, there you were. Okay, well, I'm going to be faithful and I'm not going to lord over you. I'm not going to do that. Guys, do I lord over anybody? Do you guys ever see that in me?
No, not at all.
No.
That's not the culture you created.
That is not. That is not my culture.
No.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going
to
do that.
You shouldn't have to feel that you even have to do that.
The number of times in 5 years I felt micromanaged by you is zero. But not only that, anybody who's ever overseen me underneath you, I've never felt micromanaged by them, not one time either.
Yeah, we don't do that here.
We can't, there's no room for it. There's no room for it.
We're too busy producing fruit, and we're too busy growing. We're too busy becoming the best we can be.
Somebody may be curious, like, well, how does that work? Okay, I can go to PT and like, here's the idea that I'm having. Here's what I'd like to see happen. And it's not a bunch of X's and O's of him telling me how to go get it done. He just says, that's great. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see if you make a mess. I can't wait to see what goes well. So agree on the big thing, and then we just trust the Lord on how to connect all the dots.
Somebody says that was a very stupid thing for this Italian guy to say. By the way, I've got Italian blood in me, and I do not cheat on my wife. There you go. Well, I mean, look at me. A vini vidi vici.
What?
So, yeah, I don't know.
And we hear people say that about drinking. We hear people say that about every single thing. It doesn't matter what the topic is. We hear that all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
We hear it all the time. Well, it's just the way our family is. It's just this. It's just that. It's just, no. Listen, not only do you have iniquity in your bloodline, but you have stacked up righteousness. You had a praying mama, or you had a praying grandmother, or you are a part of a ministry that has been doing something for 40 years.
Yeah.
And you can walk out like Elisha did and said, where is the God of Elijah, who I have been subject to? Where is that God? Where is the God of Elijah? Like, I expect God to show up for me the way that he shows up for Pastor Troy. Because I support this ministry. I'm plugged in. I sit at the feet of this ministry, meaning this ministry teaches me. And, man, you can call out to the God of your fathers before you.
The same Jesus.
Come on, man. And so that's what happens in Genesis chapter 26 in a profound way. Well, one of the first things that happens, and I don't have time to go through this whole thing. I will on Wednesday night, and we'll go through this. But one of the things that he does is you see iniquity. You don't see the stacked up righteousness. You see iniquity. Because he's a lover, not a fighter, and he is so intimidated by these Philistines, who are bad guys. They're bad guys. They're all bad. They're like, dude, your wife is as fine as all get out. And they're looking at him, and he's like, that's not my wife. That's my sister. No need to kill me. No need to kill me over any of this.
He's trying.
The brother. He's not the smartest knife in the drawer. He's not. And he's kind of always looking for a way to get out of a fight, looking for a way to you see this all the way through his entire ministry. And I mean, even when he's an old man, how Jacob fools him is by putting hair all over his arms, wool. And he's like, oh, it's gotta be old Esau. It doesn't sound like you, son. But it's got to be, I'm like, okay. Anyway, we could talk about that another time. But you can talk him into just about anything. Okay? He is not like Jacob and Esau, and he's not like Abraham. He's a different cat.
Incredible.
Yeah. And I love the brother. I love him. But I want to say this one more time. If in your stream of ministry, you have a style that you expect men of God to be every single time, and there's somebody anointed that's not their style, that's not their personality, that's not their delivery, you don't have a right to make a ministry out of bashing those people.
Right. Preach.
And like, okay, that's you got the, and one, you don't have a right to like, well, I don't like him because this, I don't like him because of that. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. I'm telling you, be careful. Yes. Be careful, because they might have a different delivery. I have a way that I deliver. I have a way that I like. There's nothing wrong with having your preferences. I promise you there's not. There's nothing wrong with having your preferences. There's something wrong with you calling it God, because you're not God.
That's good.
Yeah. You're not God, and your preferences are not God. Celebrate any place where fruit, where there is fruit.
Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have to leave the table.
Correct.
To find different deliveries.
Mm-hmm. And shouldn't we just also at the end of the day be worried about what we're supposed to do, what God wants us to do, as opposed to pointing the finger at like, this person does it this way. I never hear you sitting here saying this about other leaders, because you're over here thinking about, okay, we got to rescue this kid. We got this rescue home that has this project. If we're all just focused on what God has called us to do, we don't have time for that stuff, and we shouldn't. It's not necessary. Like what is hidden will be revealed. The truth will always show itself. And that's God's thing. Like,
you know, look, like I'm not a Calvinist. Okay. I'm not a Calvinist, but I recognize the contribution that Calvin gave. Yeah. Okay. And I recognize, you know, I'm like, wow. I mean, it's undeniable. Some of my favorite Bible teachers that I listen to are hardcore Calvinists.
Yeah.
And I would never sign up for that kind of ministry. But dude, the teaching of the word in it is profound. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, okay. Okay. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And I'm not going to criticize their style, their delivery, their this or all those. I'm going to glean the word of God in the midst of it.
Not just that, but there've been leaders the past few years, PT, who have had a falling out, that are no longer active in ministry, but they contributed with books and sermons and stuff. Right. And you said the same thing about them.
Yeah. I'm not going to throw
absolutely
those books away.
I'm not getting along with that, but I can't deny the contribution they've made to the body of King Jesus. Yeah, you said that before about them too.
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is with every biblical character there is in the Bible.
The full character study. You're right.
And so there's only a fraction of biblical people that do exploits that finish well.
Wow.
Incredible.
Whoa.
That's crazy. Incredible.
And then probably an even smaller fraction of ones who don't majorly mess up.
And most of the people within the Bible, they do exploits for the king for a short time of their life.
Yeah. Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
That's crazy.
Like, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. I'm not endorsing the stupidity of human beings. What I'm saying is this. We live in an internet age where we can read the criticisms and we can spend for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours studying the flaws of human beings and come to the conclusion they have no place in the body of Christ and yada, 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 yada. And I want to tell you, it's a bad spirit.
Yeah.
The same exact spirit will get the hated Jew flu.
Yep.
They'll get, they.
And that's highly contagious.
It's highly contagious. The hated Jew flu shows up. Well, I don't like Israel because they do this, they do that, they do this, they do that. The same exact people that do that against Israel. It's the same. It's like, okay, well, let me tell you what that looks like here in America. Antifa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it looks like here in America. We got all these reasons that we hate America. Well, yeah, you can study the warts all you want, or you can look at the fruit, or you can look at the promises, or you can look at the covenant. Amen. Yeah. And that's, Man, I get really concerned for the body of Jesus and our ability or our inability to be able to do that and to be able to judge in these last days. It's so easy to be deceived.
Yeah, and the Bible says that's going to happen in the last days. And I feel like you're right. We see it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pastor Brian Gibson calls it the hate of Jew flu.
I love that. I love Pastor Brian Gibson.
I heard that yesterday. I said, bro, I'm stealing that. The hate of Jew flu. I do not. Listen, man, I've had to report to the CDC recently. I came back from Uganda and they're scared I had Ebola, and they still call me. And
they're still calling you?
Yeah, they're still calling me. And that's okay. They can do their job, man. They're doing their job. It's okay. It doesn't get on my nerves. And I talk to them. They think I'm funny. They'll be funny, and they'll say, Pastor Troy, are you healthy? I'm going to go, hold on a second. I said, God, I'm sorry. I've been spitting blood all day. What? What was it?
Oh,
and I'm like,
gosh.
I'm just teasing. I'm
you
completely
can't
healthy.
Joke with that. They're going to be showing up in hazmat suits.
I know. Let them.
Oh, my gosh. Good Lord.
So, but with that said, and by the way, my CDC friends, I'm healthy, and all of my team is healthy. We came back from Uganda, and we're all good, man. So thank you. Behold.
You're healthy.
Okay. I know you're preaching tomorrow night. Can you give our Pulse crew a little bit more? Can you get into verse 2 a little bit? Or are you going to save it
for
tomorrow
night? Yeah, let's get into verse 2. Here's verse 2. Verse 2 says, then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Friends, here's a word from the Lord. When you're going through, not the famous famine, but the one everybody really doesn't even put on the calendar, but it's a big deal to you. Let me tell you where you're not going. You're not going back to Egypt.
Come on, Troy.
That's not where you go. You're going to go to the godly places your fathers before you went, and that's where he ends up going. And you're not going back to Egypt. That ain't for you. You're not going out where the dogs bark. You're not going out there. You're not going back to, you know, my God, Slick Willie. Hey, he knows how to treat a woman. Listen, he's got something. That brother knows. Let me tell you something. That brother is a loser and made you feel like a tramp. Last time you hooked up with him, stay away from a Willie. Stay away from that brother. Don't go back to that same old bar that you used to hang out with. You're not going back to Egypt in Jesus' name. You're going to go to the places and you're going to redig the wells of your father before you. And so who is your father? Who is that? What spiritual leader do you have? And you go, you know what? This ministry is really poured into my life. They've done this. I'm going to go and I'm going to redig that thing. I just went and redug a prophetic well, going, the Lord before me years ago has done this, that. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let those places get down to a trickle. I'm not going to Egypt. I'm going into the place that King Jesus has for me.
And everybody hearing that, I mean, everybody has that Egypt type place that they can think of their past. Be like, Pizza, you know my story. I can't go back.
No,
I'm not going back. And the other part of having a community is that the responsibility you have as my leader is you're not going to let me go back.
Mm-hmm. So good.
You know, you'll stand up and speak up and be like, hey, you and I both know. And that's
no, I'm not letting you go
you,
back.
You can't put a price tag on that. Mm-hmm. You can't put a value on that.
No.
That is of the Lord. It's sacred. Mm-hmm. It becomes sacred. The minute that he removes you from that, there's a sacred thing that takes hold of your life. That's what, in the pastor's meeting, that's what I heard whenever you said that. Yeah. That it became this sacred message. He's like, you're not going back because what's between you and I is sacred now.
Mm. It's a big deal. Wow. Yeah. It's a really, it's so, it's really so big, big deal.
It's so timely. Like I know you needed the Amarillo trip, the church needed this.
Yeah.
It's episode 177 today, which is pretty cool.
That is
I love cool. that. Mm-hmm. This is a message for the church today, not just for Open Door, but for the church. Yeah. So I don't know, Shay. I don't know if anybody, if we can turn that into a comment. Y'all don't have to tell us what your Egypt is, but not going back to Egypt,
if that
not
resonates
returning.
With you, put
something.
Not going back in the comments. If you really
write that
wanted
down.
To get
right,
that, get
right.
on board.
I'm not going
not
back.
Not going back.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going back. Listen, man, you're not going back. You're not going to. You're going into better and better and better in Amen. Jesus' name. Yes. You really and truly Amen. Are.
It's real. Mm-hmm.
It's
so it's real.
So real.
Mm-hmm. So good.
So good. Awesome. I'm reading. I can't help but read a whole bunch of stuff here. Well,
we can continue it tomorrow, too.
We will continue this tomorrow. I tell you what, but we haven't been behind the veil.
Oh, my goodness. We didn't.
We haven't been, and we've got to go behind the veil.
Let's do it.
There's some other stuff you can share on this that's probably better
suited. Look at all those people. Not going to go back. Beth Perry, Robin McClintock, Danielle Fitzgerald, His and Glory, not going back.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Susie, Amory.
Because of Jesus, we can't. We cannot. Ilana. It's not happening.
I'm gonna pray against whatever little famine you're going through that's not on everybody else's radar.
Good word.
Name of Jesus.
It's on your radar, and it's a hurtful, terrible, scary place. Mm-hmm. It's not the world famous one that everybody talks about, but you're going through, there's some people here, man, that you're actually going through a famine that's really bad. And then in the midst of that, you start doing stupid stuff. You start telling the Philistines, that's really not my wife, you know. you start doing that, and then they catch you. The Bible says that the king caught him laughing with his wife. That is a mild euphemism, is what that is. Okay. He's known as the laughter guy. He's also known as the lover guy, right? And it's a combination of those words. The King James says caught him sporting. That's interesting. Like they're back there shooting dice.
Yeah, they're back there
playing dice. You know, red 16, it's red. That's not what that means. And he's like, I have a revelation that is not your sister. So with that said, he fails in that aspect. He gets kicked out of town. He goes to the first well. He redigs it, and then it hits water. And then not just the Philistines show up, but the herdsmen. We're talking about a bunch of toothless hillbillies show up and reclaim it, and he gets intimidated, and then he leaves.
Wow.
He doesn't fight for it. He doesn't say, no, this is my father's well. It didn't work when you had it. It works now that I have it. And that happens all the time in ministry. That happens all the time in business. That happens all the time. You show up into a place that is dead. You make it work, and then these toothless hillbillies show up and say, well, this is actually ours, and yada, yada, yada. No, it's not. But this is the kind of guy that he's easily intimidated. He leaves, he goes to the next well, does the same thing. Bam! Same thing happens again. Brother gets run off. Goes to the next well. Bam! Same thing happens again, and he gets run off. So the word is out. Hey, just let this guy dig a well, and we'll just take it over.
Yeah.
And this guy is with his wife. This guy is with his crew. And they see this over and over and over and over again. He's such a failure. Then he gets to the last place, and God Almighty himself shows up within that place and says, no more. You're not going no more. They named the place Rehoboam, the place of covenant. And God said, look, there is stacked up covenant in your life. I can literally go to the shelf of your life, Mr. Isaac, and I can take this down and take that down. This is from 10 years ago. You sold into this. This is from 25 years ago. You went and did this thing. This is from 6 days ago. You went and did that thing. This is what your daddy did before you. I'm going to take that down. And I got this stacked up covenant promises within your life and this place. And then it says his servants went and dug wells. The people who worked for him. And boom, they all started hitting water. They dug their own wells.
Wow.
They did their own thing, and boom, they became so prosperous. Oh, I love this story. There's so much in this thing. There's so much in this thing. And so I want to encourage you guys, get into Genesis chapter 26. Now, here in just a minute, guys, we're going to go behind the veil. It's exclusive for people at stage 2, stage 3. If you're one of the thousands of people, thousands and thousands of people now that have signed up for stage 2, stage 3, Not only do you get to go and watch The Counter, now you can watch the first 4 episodes.
The
full 1 hour. Only the 30-minute version is going to come out across all of our social medias next month. But you can also go behind the veil with us, and we're about to do that. So what do we need to tell everybody?
So we just want to remind you guys. First of all, I want to say a shout-out to our friend who posted a little bit ago, was stage 2 as of last week. So
way
you
joined
our ODX community at the perfect time, because not only are you going to get to go behind
Jacob
the veil
Duke
with us, but you're also going to have access to the full episodes of The Counter. So thank you so much, and to every single person who does join us. And guys, we'll be back here across all social media platforms, same time, same place tomorrow. Then tomorrow night, we have our service. We got lots going on in this house, guys. The Lord is speaking. The Lord is moving. So the conversation shouldn't end here, and it's not going to for us. So head behind the veil with us over at odx.tv. Join us there as we continue this conversation. And if you're not joining us there, then join us right back here, same time, same place tomorrow. And yeah, you ready to go behind the veil?
I'm ready to go behind the veil.
All right,
guys, we're going to go behind the veil. Don't forget, Wednesday night, I'm going to be preaching here at Open Door Church. We're going to be talking about redigging the wells, and I'm going to show this and a whole lot more. Come out and join me for a really profound Bible study on Wednesday night. It's going to be so much fun.
So good.
And then don't forget to pray for me just because you love me. And what else? What else should I tell you?
Rev 17 conference this weekend.
That's exactly right.
You'll be back on Sunday, though, preaching.
I will. Yeah,
I'm
leaving on Thursday. I'm coming back on Saturday.
Yep.
Be back here in Texas on Saturday, and then I'll be here at Open Door Church on Sunday morning.
All right. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to head over to ODX.TV to go behind the veil. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem. It's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.